Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, radio audience. This is Linda, and this is Soul in the City. I'm so happy to have you all with us this Sunday afternoon. I hope that everyone had a great time in church services and spiritual communion services around the country. Today, I am inviting you to come into a conversation with me and one of my best girlfriends, Kathy White. We're going to be talking on the mind of Christ and what that means. And if we function in the mind of Christ, how are we to function in that? So get your Bibles out if you want to. If you have questions, if you agree or disagree, please feel free to call in. Our guest call-in number is 760-695-1120. We're going to start the program off with a song by Avalon, Blessed Assurance. Joy. Praising my Savior all the day long. That really is my story. Well, we're going to go right on into the mind of Christ. Hello, Kathy.
Hey, Linda. How are you doing?
Good. We're standing on two scriptures. When I say standing, Matt, I'm going to say we're using two scriptures to kind of base this program off. The first one is 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 16. And if you don't mind, Kathy, I'm going to let you read that one, if you have it.
Okay. The second chapter, verse 16?
Right. And you can maybe read 15. You know, you might want to go through 15 through 17 just to kind of give us a foundation for it.
Yeah, 15 through 16. I got you.
Okay. All right.
I'll start now.
Okay.
The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Wow, and that's powerful. And I'm going to go ahead and the second scriptures that we're going to be using is Philippians, the second chapter, 5 through 11. And I'm going to start there. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name. Now I just got to read the 10th verse, which says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those of earth and of those under the earth. So those are two very powerful scriptures that we'll be coming from. From that, I just start thinking and meditating today on what is the mind of Christ. And as I meditated, I kind of got more and more, and as Kathy and I talked, I kind of got more and more. So I'm just kind of go through some of the things that I wrote down that came to my mind about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a mind of wisdom. It's a mind of power, a mind of love, a mind of grace, a mind of strength. It's a mind of guidance because it guides us. It's a mind of healing and redemption. The mind of Christ stands in sharp contrast to the wisdom of man. It involves wisdom from God. The mind of Christ is given to believers through the Spirit of God. The mind of Christ cannot be understood sometimes by those without the Spirit of God or those who don't have a connection or relationship to God. The mind of Christ gives believers discernment in spiritual matters. In order to really have the mind of Christ, one must have the saving faith of who Christ is and have a relationship with him. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit infusing one with the wisdom, the mind of Christ. And then as I read and went through Philippians, what I got from that was, who being formed of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, meaning that he was human and divine, and he forego being king of the universe to become human, to come down here and to die on the cross for us. And what he did was for us was like a servant leadership. In order to lead, you have to be willing to serve. And he took service to the highest level. Also, it involves some humility, but not all the humility that we think. Because sometimes I think we function in false humility. Oh, God, I'm this. I'm so low. And I'm no. He fully knew his power, and there's power and strength in knowing who you are and yet being humble enough to be human. So there's no false humility in that. It's functioning out of your power instead of your weakness. He functioned in integrity and character. So that's part of the mind of Christ, is to function in integrity and character, to empower, to be obedient, to be revolutionary. Christ is revolutionary. He was an out-of-the-box person. he was the mind of Christ. To me, it's earth shattering, in that it shatters the earth's atmosphere, and we enter into the spirit realm. It's a kingdom mindset. It's being about doing your Father's business, our Heavenly Father's business. It's not an impoverished mindset. It's an empowering, transforming, and inspiring mindset. And the mind of Christ nourishes our soul. It makes us whole. It gives us, and it catapults us into a higher spiritual realm, taking us from glory to glory. So that's kind of what I got from Let This Mind Be In You. That is also in Christ Jesus. So those were the things I got. So I'm going to kind of hand it over to Kathy. And Kathy, what did you come up with some of these verses?
You know, as you were speaking, I was thinking to myself, you know, this is an awesome lesson in the fact that when we look at being in the mind of Christ, I had to go back to defining. One of the things you pointed out was service. Being a servant. And when you look up the word servant, the Latin meaning is, the Latin word is servire, to serve. And then you go further, what does serve mean? It means a service. The Latin word is service, and that means a slave. And when you go back to the scripture, like in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So if we are trying to have a mind of Christ, to me that means we need to do it just like a slave would do it. We don't wait and on doing things when people are watching us. We do it whether people are watching us or not. We don't do it to reap rewards. We do it because we're serving God. And when we look in the Bible, throughout the Bible, anytime Christ was doing anything, he was in the servant role. He did it with humility. So part of, that's why I'm so excited about this lesson, so forgive me if I lose words sometimes, but it just excited me. So the more I kept digging into things, I would get to another part that made me say, okay, how does this apply to man today? And it made me go back to look at the what was the book of Colossians, 1 Corinthians about? When Paul wrote this, he wrote this because the Christians in Corinth were not getting along with one another. They were taking sides. Some of them were living very sinful lives. He wrote letters to scold them, to teach them how Christians should act. And that is so fitting for today's milieu that we live in. So I'm excited about this lesson.
Well, and I'm excited about this lesson because some of the things I'm getting out of the lesson, which I kind of stated earlier, was that even today, I think as Christians sometimes we don't function with the mindset of Christ. And me included in that. Sometimes I function, one, below the level. Sometimes I function in a sense of false humility. I have functioned in a sense of false humility, you know, that I'm lower than the scum of the earth, which I'm not. I'm a king's kid. And once you know who you are in his mindset, then you can function at the level God called you to. So humility is strength in action to me. What do you think about that, Kathy?
Strength in action? Definitely. Definitely because,
yeah,
you know, throughout the Bible you see people acting. Everything in the Bible is an action verb, you know. It's people doing. It's people acting on faith. They're not waiting for something to happen to them. They're acting. They're listening to God's word, but they're doing action. They're not sitting around saying just because they prayed today that they don't have to act. It says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit? even in that, it's action. You don't just talk the talk. You have to act.
And you have to walk it out, and it's intermingling with him through his grace that we can go from, like I said, from glory to glory. It's going to new revelations of who he is. And it all begins with a relationship with Christ. Once you have a relationship with him, then it's like you can step into his mindset the more you spend time with him. One of the things you said, Kathy, was about it's like he became a slave to his father. He was yet his father's son, king of the kingdom of heaven, but he stepped down into the earth realm and gave ultimate service to the point of death. He died on the cross for us. So he stepped down from his divinity and then became a slave to mankind, really, when you think about it. And I guess that would be hard for us to think of ourselves bound as slaves. So when you think of it, it's like a bound agreement to humble yourself, but walk in strength enough to be a service to man. Well, you have any thoughts on that, Kathy?
You know, my thought on this is that I struggle with this myself. You know, sometimes you want to, in the world we live in today, with people wanting to use people, and you never know whether you can trust that if you help somebody, they're not going to hit you in the head. But that's walking in fear. And one of the things, if you have the mind of Christ, you can't walk in fear.
You have
to serve, but you can't fear that someone's going to hurt you if someone comes up to you and wants you to hand them a dollar because they're hungry.
Or question. A lot of times when people are coming to us, we question whether they're using it for. Are you using it for? It's about giving to them and knowing faith, whether they use it or not, for what you thought they should, that you gave it in faith.
You have to. If we're going to walk with the mind of Christ, we have to walk standing on God's word. We can't worry about what a person is going to do with the money or materials that we're going to give them. We just have to serve them, let ourselves be used as a servant, and help them. Because Christ didn't worry about what people did with whatever he gave them. He just served, because when he served his mankind, he was doing his Father's work. And that's how we have to behave toward our fellow man.
It's almost like, really, this lesson is kind of opening up a lot of me in that it's about doing your Father's business, meaning our Heavenly Father. So it forces you to see the big picture when you want to go small view eyes. You know, when you just want to focus in on small, minute things, when you function in the mind of Christ, you got to see the big picture of the whole situation. And it's something that we all struggle with, because about this program is about being real. And I am not holier than thou. And this, to function and to walk into the gifting of the mind of Christ is opening me up to some new realms of thinking of how much I'm not functioning in that. Because if I really function in the mind of Christ, then there is nothing really that I can't do. Because Christ is in me. So, I mean, I see it in the humble part, but I see it in the most powerful part, too. What's your thoughts on that, Kathy?
My thought on that is that, you know, I, too, struggle with that. You know, I was reading some of the passages, and I was thinking to myself, you know, God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things. And sometimes when we are going through our walk, we don't feel like we're worthy to get some of the blessings that we get. And then we have people that are quick to point out to us what our failings are. But when we're walking in God's wisdom and trying to be in the mind of Christ, we can't concern ourselves with what man thinks. God's going to give us the wisdom. He's going to give us discernment so that we make the right decisions. And sometimes those decisions that we make, we're going to suffer. As Bishop Walker was talking today, we're going to get thorns. And the more, he said, I hope I repeat this the way he put it out there. He said, when you get roses sometimes and you unwrap the paper, you find that up under that paper there are thorns, and that the longer the thorns, the sweeter the aroma. And some of us have very long thorns because we've been through some things. But as we're going through these things, God is blessing us, and we just have to praise him for all the thorns that we receive throughout life as we journey to be more Christ-like.
I heard that message too, and the message that even studying this with the mind of Christ, it helps me to see that, we don't want the thorns that come along with life. We don't want to really experience the pain. And I'm not saying that we should be jubilant even about the pain. I heard people say praise the pain. Well, you don't really, in all reality, nobody wants to praise the pain. I don't really want to praise the pain. But in the most painful portions or processes in my life were places that, or the places where I hurt the most. I was being refined, as they say in the refiner's fire, and I see that it placed me in another level in God because I had no place else to go to depend on him, to trust him at his word, and it took me to a newer height in God, placed me closer to being in the mind of Christ and receiving that. So do you feel that has happened when you were in those places?
Definitely. For me, it was his removing me from all the people that I love, from friends, from family, and putting me alone so that I could be still and hear his word, and also use me in a sense to serve others. Because where he put me, I'm being used to serve. There are times when I know that he wants me to do something, and the human part of me says, no, I don't want to do it, and I struggle hard not to do it. But when I give in and let him use me, then the blessings that I receive are, I can't even speak. I get overwhelmed sometimes when I know that I have followed what my father wanted me to do. But you have to be still, and you have to listen. And sometimes throughout this life, we want to just keep it moving. We want to fill ourselves with so many things, so many tasks, that we don't sit still and listen. You can't hear his word if you sit still.
That's so true, because I think it's so powerful. When you are going through, when you have those thorns in your side, and when things are going about in your day, I think some of the things that those thorns are a signal to, even when you've made mistakes and you've done something, the thing is that, not that you made the mistake, so we all, you can always go to the Father and ask for forgiveness, but what did you learn in that process? Even with the thorn, what is he trying to teach you there? And the only way you can really confront that issue is if you sit and be quiet and listen to what he's saying. And I know I've heard people say, well, I don't hear God. Yeah, you do. It's that still, small voice. People call it intuition, whatever. It's that still, small voice that directs you. And when you know it's God, it lines up with his word. You know, he's not going to tell you to steal. He's not going to tell you to rob a bank. He's not going to tell you to commit adultery. That's not God. But when it lines up with his word, you've heard him. And being in that mindset, when you're in the mind of Christ, when you're still and you're quiet, it helps you to zoom in quicker so that you can just hear him speaking to you. What do you think about that, Kathy?
You do hear him, and it does happen. And he also puts people in your life that help guide you so that you are hearing him. For me, it happens in threes. You know, when there's something that I'm struggling with, I'll hear that message three times, and then I know for myself that that is coming from God. You know, it's coming from God, because it won't be the same person telling me the same message over again. It will be different people sending me the same message.
And I think it goes back to that mind of Christ, is that we talked about the humility. But then the next thing is the obedience. Because Christ came on earth with a focus. He had a vision. He knew what he was supposed to do. And he was obedient to the will of his Father. And I'm going to be honest with, you know, I'm just raw. Obedience is something I struggle with. Not that I try to be disobedient to God, but it's getting a way of your flesh to be obedient to his word. Do you kind of have anything on that, Kathy?
Oh, yeah. Being obedient. Oh, I struggle with that. You know, like I was saying, sometimes he'll tell me to do something and I'll want to go left instead of going right. But when I go right instead of left like he wanted me to, I learn a hard lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always comfortable. But as I've grown a little more, and I'm still not there yet, I've learned that when I'm obedient to listening to him, my life is so much easier. Things are so much simpler. Because God doesn't like chaos. He doesn't like chaos. If you have a lot of chaos in your life, a lot of drama in your life, you need to be still. You need to listen, because he's going to simplify things in your world if you just obey.
Powerful, powerful words. So, and then you know, the mind of Christ, really, when you think he has a human nature, he came to earth and he had this human nature and this divine nature. And I believe that we do. We have this human flesh that we struggle with all good, well-meaning intentions. But inside of us is the Holy Spirit, and that's the divine nature of us. And a lot of times I had a moment of quietness today where I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of introduced himself to me, or herself to me. And it's the Spirit of God in me. And it's the reflection of God inside of me that guides and directs and teaches and counsels me, that still small voice that talks to us. And sometimes in order to really know the Holy Spirit, you have to be quiet. There's been times when I've just been quiet and asked the Holy Spirit to talk to me. And it's, like I said, is that still small voice that is the direct communicator between you and God. You got anything with that one, Kathy?
I'm right there with you. You know, that's when I get my most intuitive, is when I'm still and I'm quiet. You know, things are revealed to me and doors are open to me in my mind. And even when I look at the word, things are open to me that I may have read a passage one time and not got it. But then when I'm still and I'm quiet, sometimes he'll reveal that same passage to me in a different light. But you have to study the word for yourself. And you have to listen to others too, but you have to know the word for yourself. You know, too many times we depend on our pastors and our friends to enlighten us to what God is saying, but we need to get in that word for ourselves, because he will reveal what he wants you to know. Because the message is there if we just be still. wisdom is there if we just feel.
That's true. A lot of part of this program is, you know, sometimes the guests that I have on the program are not the big pastors and stuff, but my pastors are awesome, and they will be on the program also. But sometimes I want people to hear from the people in the pew, and that we receive from our pastors. I'm one of the people in the pew, but I get into the word myself. And I glean from my pastors, but I glean from the word myself. And with this conversation, these are just conversations with my friends, family, coworkers, where you see these people gleaning from the word of God and what he's giving them themselves. And it's powerful when I just stop to talk to my friends and coworkers, knowing, like even today, that when we decided to study this out, Kathy and I think what we both got out of it was so profound that we had to share it.
You know, something that, you know, is gnawing at me right now that I want to say, and this was a word that I got out of it, and I think I need to go ahead and just share this because it's been gnawing at me, because I don't know who needs this, but a lot of times when we go to church and people avoid church, and Bishop was talking about this too. Sometimes people react to people not having the right clothes on, not having, not saying things the right way, not worshiping just like them. And in Romans 14, it says, "Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." And to me, if we remember nothing else from this lesson, that sums it up as having the mind of Christ. You know, don't judge your fellow man, because Christ didn't judge us in that way. He didn't care if you were, as for lack of a better word, if you were a prostitute or you were a thief or a robber. He helped you anyway, and we should help our fellow man the same way. Stop judging and help.
And you know, as you bring that up, and it's not to, this program is not about throwing stones at the church, but it's about us opening up the church and thinking about some things and not doing church as usual. I'm going to be honest. I am sick of church as usual. I'm ready to go to that next level where the church is an organism and we're not just in the building, but we're reaching out to others in the highways and byways. And we're spreading the gospel, which is the good news, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And we can walk in the kingdom now. That's what I feel like I'm doing. And this is an avenue for maybe those people who don't feel comfortable in the church setting, but take the time, maybe they do love God. I've been in places in my life where, I'm going to be honest, I've been hurt by some people in the church. And I don't walk in, you know, callous and holding that against anybody. I've forgiven and I've moved on. But as the people in the church, really, you know, open yourself up in your heart and don't be so, you know, if you don't look like this or talk like that, or if you're not holier than thou, welcome whoever, whenever, as Christ. That's the mind of Christ. He went through the prostitutes. He went in the areas that people questioned who he was because he was in those areas, because the way I worship and who I reach to is not familiar to you in the church. Don't judge me. I'm going in those places. Maybe some people in the church may be afraid to go to. Those are the places I feel he's called me to. So instead of judging the appearance of what I'm doing, judging my heart about that. You got something on that, Kathy?
Amen. Amen. That's basically all I can say on that one. It's just amen. And,
yeah,
you know, we all servants, and being a servant means we have to stand strong in the Word of God, and that we have to seek God first in all things that we do, and that we have to voluntarily obey His will and labor for Him. You know, and that's what I try to do with my life. I may not know all the books of the Bible, but I'm learning. Day by day, I'm learning. I can't recite scripture like I would love to, but I'm still learning. I'm learning how to let God use me as His tool to help the hurting, to help the weak. And in doing those things, I'm receiving also, because I'm learning more about where I need to grow, where my weaknesses are, and I'm cleaning my own house. And I think we all have to clean our own house. We have to take an honest inventory of where we are in our mind, our body, and our spirit. And when we do that, we will develop our mind more Christ-like. What do you think about that, Linda? Linda? Linda?
Yes, I'm sorry. We had some technical difficulties. We're talking about some important things, and the devil might be trying to stop us, but we're going to keep on going. I hear you, Kathy. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before. I wasn't sure if I was still on. I was getting ready to hang up and redial.
No, my phone lost contact during the show. Technical difficulty, but I'm back and we can continue. I think we could talk about the church and the mind of Christ. That's kind of where we were going with some things about being in the body of Christ and having the mind of Christ, having an open mindset to receive and go after the lost. We're kind of there. You got any thoughts on that?
You know, Paul said it all in that he was writing to the church to shame them so that they would be warned. And he said that even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Bottom line, you've got to read the gospel. You got to know the gospel, you know, for yourself. And when you see you're doing wrong, you've got to correct yourself.
And I think that's about having that mindset of Christ, is that, you know, there's the human side of us that things will happen, you know, not that just through our choices and whatever, the consequences of those choices we still have to go through, but to repent, to get back, don't fall down and just stay down there, to repent and get back and to reach up to that mindset. It's a higher mind. Let this mind be in you. It's a higher mindset. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But for me, it's about reaching to that higher level of being and consciousness in Him that helps us to be in that mindset of Christ and functioning there. Now, that's the hard part. What do you say about functioning in that mindset? It's easy to talk about it. To function there is another thing.
To function in it is a difficult struggle, minute by minute, second by second, day by day, you know, because while as a Christian I know the right things to do, but the human side of me is like a constant battle.
Mm-hmm.
Constant battle. And I would be remiss in saying that sometimes I slip. Sometimes I slip and I have to get back up and, okay, you fell down, let's get back up, okay, ask for forgiveness and try to do it better.
And that's, you know, it's day by day, hour by hour, but it's also, you know, I don't want to get into the mindset that we're so religious that we have to struggle for this. some of it is, and I thank my pastors for this, is about resting in God and letting God just guide you through that process. Sometimes we just need to rest in God, that He is there. He's guiding us through the Holy Spirit. Listen to that. Rest in that. And not to condemn ourselves, knowing that we are the righteousness of God and we can function in that. We can function in His righteousness, resting in Him and letting Him guide us. So, Miss Kathy, do you have any other, do you have some things on that?
Well, you know, bottom line is we have to stay rooted in Christ, you know.
That's the whole thing.
Human regulations, and there are Christ regulations. And man, we can't live by what man thinks and the regulations he sets for us. We have to live with the regulations that Christ and has set for us, because He is honoring His Father, and His Father gave Him the wisdom so that He could lead us down the road to Him.
Wow, and that is so, so true. I'm grateful for taking this word and studying it and gleaning from it, learning from it, hashing it out with somebody else, taking it back and forth. And I'm still going to spend some time in meditating on how to function and what that really means. To have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. And as I say it, let, that's about giving over yourself to Him so that His mind can function in you. Let this mind, not meaning your mindset, so it's a total surrender, basically, letting His mind be in you. So that means it's in us. It's a part of us that is also in Christ Jesus. Do you have any thoughts on that, girl?
As you were speaking, I was just thinking, you know, God knows us. He knows us. He knows every nook and cranny about us. He knows what we struggle with on a daily basis. And He doesn't want us to be ashamed to acknowledge Him. He wants us to be bold in everything we do, because that's part of being, having the mind of Christ, being bold, you know, admitting that we have difficulty following Him, because there are others out there that are having the same difficulties we are having, and we can lift them up and let them know they're not struggling alone, that we all, even though we are Christians, we all have the same struggles. Some, and we all are at different stages of growth, but we're all in the same family. We belong to His family, and we all need to stand strong in His word. And He's going to be there for us to help lift us up and help guide us through everything that we go through. And
wow.
That's all I have to say on that subject.
That's more than enough, because it's powerful, and it's good. It's all good. I was thinking one of the things that came to me is that the children of God, because that's what we are, and so when you have this mindset of Christ, Christ knew He was God's Son. He was co-creator with the creator of the universe. So, and knowing that we are God's children, we are the sons and daughters of God, that's our birthright, then our thinking, our lifestyle, our communication, it should be different from others. We should be walking epistles. And though we should do these things, even when we kind of slip off, it's all about not condemning yourself. But also the mindset of Christ is freedom in Christ. It's about picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and getting back in the fight, getting back in the walk, thinking yourself in with Him. You got anything, Miss Kathy?
Oh, I'm just full right now, girl. I am full. You know, there's so much work we all have to do, but above all, we need to do it knowing that we need to serve and we need to have humility. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. That is so it. It is so it. It is. I'm going to just take a song break for a minute. And while I have everybody kind of think about what we said, meditate on that. And as we take this little song break, just to kind of hear a few things. I'm sorry, I'm looking for it. Here we go. We're going to do some I Can Only Imagine.
That's a good one.
Yeah, just for a few minutes. Okay, just giving you a taste of it. When I think about the song, I Can Only Imagine, it almost brings me to the point of, especially when it says, surrounded by your glory, what Will my heart do? You know, will I fall on my knees? Will I be able to dance with you? I can only imagine. And even in being in the mind of Christ, it's about imagining him being in you, so close to you that you're never alone. His mindset is engulfed in your mindset. When I imagine that, it almost just makes me want to shout, hallelujah. You got
hallelujah.
Kathy, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah. So what do you say about that?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Wow.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. That's what I say.
And that's well said, because when his word dwells in us, that means lives, resides, takes place, takes space in our mind, in our thoughts, in our being. When we let that word richly dwell in us, wow, I can only imagine.
When it dwells in us, it can whoop your butt.
It can do that too. It can help you, but you know it's a good whooping.
It sometimes not, and I'm speaking as a single woman now.
Going into that, because that's a whole other topic about having the mind of Christ and being a single person.
Yes.
Sometimes it makes you question, Lord, if you want a mate, if you desire a partner, it makes you question, what's wrong with me? It takes you to that point. Am I not pretty enough? Am I not good enough? Am I too big? Am I too small? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But the mind of Christ tells us we're beautiful. He made us. He formed us in the womb. He's given everything we need. We just need to rest in him.
Mm-hmm. And be patient.
And be patient.
Wow.
That,
it's not
that
always
just,
easy to be patient. But if it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
That's part of his quality, how patient Christ must be with us for all that we do, all the things that we go through. He knows that the process of us growing and getting closer to him, that we're going to fall, we're going to stumble, we're going to lose all of these things, and he stands patiently with open arms waiting for us to reach him. So I guess it's a wait. The mind of Christ is having a mind of expectancy, knowing that whatever you desire, whatever you're hoping and praying for, it will happen. Would you agree with that, Kathy?
In due time, it will happen. And that's the key word, in due time. Not our time, but in due time. In God's
that
time.
Is a powerful word. Even with, I had to go back to that being the single woman thing, in due time. In due time. That if you desire that husband, that mate, in due time. Because, with time, even when you're dating people, time shows them to you. And it shows you to them, too.
Exactly.
So don't always be in such a rush to make it happen for a relationship, and I'm speaking out of personal experience, because time shows everything.
Well, not only does it show everything, if we give things time, as you were saying, it reveals things. It reveals areas that you still need to grow, and if you need to do some forgiveness, it reveals that, because you don't want to take the same baggage from a past relationship to another relationship.
Right. And, one of the things on the program description was that we were talking about divorce. And we only got about 5 minutes. So I'm just going to do a blurb about this, and we'll have another short. But after divorce, I know going through my divorce was one of the most That was one of the thorns. That was one of the most painful experiences of my life after being married for, you know, all the years that I was married. But as I was telling you earlier, Kathy, as I look at myself going through the whole period of divorce and then after divorce, if you've been married for a long time, there's some shame in that. There's some struggle in that. There's some depression in that. There's some crying in that. But I
whole lot of crying.
A whole lot of tears. But
yeah.
I am such the better person. In that at first I was blaming him. Then I finally got to the point that it was not all him. I had something with it too.
Yeah, it takes two. It takes two. And you know, but most of all, you have to have forgiveness. You have to have forgiveness in your heart, no matter what that person did or didn't do, or no matter what you did or didn't do. You have to forgive each other, because only through forgiveness can you move toward having a coexistent relationship.
Right, and that forgiveness, that's part of that. The whole we're pulling it all in together. That forgiveness is not necessarily for the other person. It's that so that you can continue to grow and evolve and go from higher and glory to glory. Because when you hold on to that forgiveness, it just builds that unforgiveness. When you hold on to that anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, it binds you up. It comes out in physical manifestations, heart disease, whatever, lung disease or whatever. So it really hurts you. The other person, when you are just holding all that unforgiveness, they are going on about their lives usually and living it, and you're living in this quiet.
In the past. Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah. But even Christ, I mean, again, this goes back to having the mind of Christ. Even with his last breath, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He showed forgiveness. So if he can show forgiveness, who are we not to? And he went through a heck of a lot more than we ever go through.
And that is so, so true. It really is. And probably the culmination of the program, because we got about 2 minutes, so I'm going to say my little final thoughts about, you know, we went through a lot of qualities about the mind of Christ, being humble, not having false humility, but being humble and acquiring strength and power, walking as a servant and a leader, because Christ was a servant leader. Being a slave to our Heavenly Father, but yet being his child. It has some duality there. And walking in the birthright of being a son or a daughter of God. It's about knowing who you are and walking that. Those probably would be my final thoughts. Kathy, you got any final thoughts about this whole mind of Christ?
Colossians 12 through 14. I encourage everyone to read that. And just a quick, it talks of kindness, humbleness, a mind, meekness, long-suffering. It talks of, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Right. Well, we have about 90 seconds, and I want to take a little time just to say out there in Radio Land, if there's anybody out there that does not have a relationship with Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the light, please feel free to call at 760-695-1120 or write us or hit the message on Blog Talk Radio. I'm happy to lead you through the prayer of salvation. And to lift him up. We got 41 seconds, and this is Soul in the City, where we aspire to take the spirit higher and higher. Please come in for future programming. In October, I will have a program with my pastors, Pastor Mark and Patricia Douglas, and they'll be having a program on hearing God, which ought to be powerful. Well, with this being Soul in the City, we really thank you for listening. As I say goodbye, And Kathy, do you want to say bye to the listening audience?
Bye, listening audience, and get your yearly physicals.
All right. Goodbye. This is Soul in the City. Thank you.